Well, we're in Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at what are called the Beatitudes, this sermon which Jesus preached. And you may notice that these verses, Matthew chapter 5 and verses 3 to 10, fall into two categories. The first four Beatitudes speak about your relationship with God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're poor in spirit when you admit your sin and your need before God and you cry out to him for grace. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You mourn, you see your sin in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you by his atoning death on the cross. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You surrender to God's control. You empty yourself of self-sufficiency and self-effort and self-righteousness. And you exhibit Christ dependency. You are meek. And the result, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You hunger, you thirst, like a man desperately thirsty for water. You thirst for a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then, having trusted the Saviour out of love for Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, God works an inner desire for right living as well. Then says the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pick it up in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Christians long to be merciful. So the Christian who has been caused by the Spirit to be spiritually humble, poor in spirit, recognizing you have a need before God that you can't achieve or fulfill for yourself. What is the Spirit to? The Spirit causes you, don't take sin lightly, casually, flippantly. It becomes something of a concern to your soul. You mourn over sin. The Spirit changes your heart. You're not prideful. You're humbled. You don't now delight in sin anymore. You fight against it. You hate it. Hate it not only for its consequences and its misery, but for what it is, an affront to a holy God. Sin is lawlessness. So the Spirit then causes you to abdicate self-righteousness. You stand before God, you say, I have no merits. God could destroy me, but he's gracious to me. I can't speak of my own righteousness before him. But I trust in Jesus Christ, who gives me a righteousness from God, which is by faith. And then that longing for right living, what does that result in? Well, the Holy Spirit brings forth fruit in your heart. And this fruit, you become merciful. If you have been forgiven much before God, you realize if you've been forgiven much yourself, then you must be a merciful person. You see again this law of reverse effect. The Lord Jesus says, who is blessed? Not those who have no troubles in this life, but those who are merciful to those who are in trouble. Those are the people who are blessed. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit does in a person's heart. Why are Christians merciful? Because they have been shown great mercy. Now, if you're not rejoicing in the mercy of God this morning and the forgiveness of sins, Jesus says those who know little of that forgiveness love little, but those who know the great love of God in forgiveness of sin is mercy. They are merciful. Mercy is a love for those who are in need, a forgiving spirit towards the sinner. It embraces kindly feelings and kindly actions. Mercy doesn't hide behind scruples to avoid costly service. The great example of mercy, if you wanted to read Luke 10, the Good Samaritan, who showed mercy to a poor traveller upon the side of the road who'd been beaten up and left half for dead. The Good Samaritan didn't come up with scruples or excuses as to why he couldn't show mercy. He overcame those scruples, those obstacles. He showed mercy. And in the early church then, for the first 3 or 4 centuries, whenever that parable was spoken about, they always said, the Good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus. Because Jesus is so compassionate, so merciful. He will not break the bruised reed. He will not extinguish the smoking flax. He is the compassionate, gracious, merciful Saviour. He comes and he ministers to us this morning in all our needs. And as the Saviour draws near to you in his mercy, do we have that mercy then? To show mercy on the souls of others. Those who are careless. Those who don't know the way of life. Those whose lives appear to be carefree, but actually they're on a road to destruction. Do we show them mercy? Merciful to those in sorrow, the depressed, those in need, those who are, even those who are hurting us. We show mercy, we show compassion, because we've been shown such great mercy by the Lord Jesus. And you see the blessing of the merciful here, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, you showing mercy is not the cause of God's mercy to you. God's mercy, which has been revealed in your heart, causes you to be merciful, and the result is God ministers grace upon grace, more mercy. Someone has said, if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent into this world a professor. If our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent an economist. But what was our greatest need? Our greatest need was for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So what did God send? God sent a Savior. Thank God. God sent a Savior. And if you've known that mercy from the Saviour, then God gives you a merciful heart. And if you know anything of what I'm speaking of this morning, that's a result of God's grace at work in your life. And if Christian mercy is not in your heart, then you need to run in faith to the only one who can provide a heart of righteousness and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he will give you all your heart's desire. He will show mercy to you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Christians long to be merciful. Secondly, Christians long to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Christians long to be uncompromisingly dedicated to Jesus Christ, pure in heart. And again, notice this law I'm calling the law of reverse effect. The world does not think of those who are men and women of integrity as being blessed. In fact, you look around in the world, those who are duplicitous sometimes are prosperous. They say one thing and they do another. There's been a lot of controversy, isn't there, in the American presidential election. About candidates who are saying, we'll say one thing in private, we have one policy there, but in public we'll say the opposite. Double-minded. Compromisers, schemers. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, it's not those who scheme and act in a double-minded way who are blessed. It is people who are pure in heart, people of integrity, people who are uncompromisingly dedicated to Jesus Christ. The idea here is of a person with a focused heart. The heart is focused on this priority, to know and to follow Jesus Christ. The idea of single-minded, trust and discipleship, following Jesus Christ. Now you notice this is not sincerity of any sort. Jesus is not saying blessed are those who are sincere, even if they are sincerely wrong. No, the Lord Jesus is speaking of a blessing of those who come to God with this sincere, single-minded focus of heart. Because it's possible to bring upon yourself destruction if you're sincerely wrong. One of the great dangers of our day, people being led astray by this prosperity gospel teaching. Things like Hillsong and Benny Hinn and T.J. Jakes and Joyce Meyer, Joel E. Osteen, all these people who fill up our TV screens. The Lord Jesus Christ is not here giving a blessing to every kind of religious teaching. No matter what you believe, doesn't matter, you'll be blessed. No, he's saying those who sincerely pursue God with pure hearts, devoted to Jesus Christ, they're the ones who are blessed. There is a purity here which is a sincerity in truth, worshipping God through the Saviour, Jesus Christ, and in line with his word. And its opposite is double-mindedness. The Bible frequently describes the double-minded man or woman. The double-minded man or woman who wants to have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. Someone who wants to hedge his bets. Someone who says, I want to have a bit of religion, but I want to have enough space in my heart to do whatever I want and whatever pleasures and desires I have, even if they crowd God out. Now, the first commandment reminds us, God will brook no rivals. The purity of heart that Jesus speaks about here is the purity of heart of the man or the woman who says, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Saviour. And he is Lord of all. Or he's not Lord at all. So there is a devotion, a dedication, a single-mindedness coming to God through Jesus Christ. And this then, this beatitude pulls together our happiness, our blessedness, as we are singly-minded, focused on Jesus Christ, yielding ourselves to God. Happiness and holiness come together here. But the desire, holiness, brings the blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God as he is. They shall see him as their God. And they will see him forever. To know communion with God as he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So every Christian here this morning has to ask some questions as we think about this beatitude. We all know this struggle in our hearts. The struggle between our desires, our priorities, our agendas. And what the Lord wants us to do in Jesus Christ. It's why we avail ourselves of the means of grace. Tonight as we come together for the Lord's Supper, we remind ourselves of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So our affections are warmed and we're drawn to him. And we remember what he has done for us in his mighty grace. And you all know that battle in your heart this morning. And so the heart's priority, we flee to Jesus Christ, we run to him, we seek him. Are you living this morning under that awareness of a focus upon Jesus Christ, his glory? Or is your heart divided? Double-minded. Blessed are the pure in heart, says Jesus. Those who have this dedicated focus on Jesus Christ. For they shall see God. Christians long to be merciful. Christians long to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, Christians long to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Christians are purveyors of the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. We speak of those who want to lead nations into war as warmongers. Nations want to make money selling weapons of war. Christians, says the Lord Jesus Christ, are not to be warmongers, they are to be peacemongers. Peacemongers because God has shed abroad his peace in our hearts. If you have found peace with God this morning, it's not because you deserved it, not because of your works. It's because you have embraced Jesus Christ by faith, and as a result of that Saviour, you have found peace with God. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Do you know that peace? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing you from all sin. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ. As a result then, we want all men and women everywhere to share in that peace. We are peacemongers. We purvey the gospel of peace. Those who have peace with God cannot be silent about it. It is the greatest thing in the world. To realize this morning, if you're a Christian, before God, you are not guilty, condemned. You have peace. We're embraced by a father in heaven, like a prodigal son or daughter who has come home. Do you have a father in heaven this morning who receives you? It's a great thing to know peace with God. To go to bed at night and to know you have peace with God. If you don't wake up the next morning, you have peace with God. And those who know that peace strive by word and deed to spread that peace. Now again, this is not peace at any price. This is not peace without truth. This is not a peace that says, whatever you believe, that's all right, as long as we can get along together. No, this is a peace, in truth, a peace that even divides, said Jesus, who spoke about a peace that brings the sword. Isn't it interesting that sometimes the world thinks that Christians are not peacemakers? Sometimes the world says to us, you Christians are divisive. We're all trying to get along here, and everything was fine until you came along. Until you came along, claiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way of salvation. And that there's only one true and living God. You're divisive. You're bringing about trouble in our society. You're causing trouble. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that precisely when the world is saying that about you, blessed are you. Because the only way of peace is that acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the only Saviour and the only name under heaven by which men and women can be saved. It's only that message that really brings peace with God. Now, yes, it brings a division. This morning it brings that division. Those who have peace with God, those who are still under God's throne. Those who have embraced Jesus Christ by faith and those who reject him. But the only true peace is the peace with God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we share that message to Jesus Christ, we are peacemakers and we are called the sons of God. Why? Because as our hearts are turned and we no longer show hatred, animosity, we're not warmongers towards men and women. We do it because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. We want men and women everywhere to experience the bounty of God. So as the hateful hearts are turned to loving hearts by the gospel of peace, we become peacemakers. We bear God's image, sons and daughters of the living God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You note in the book of the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel says that the Lord does not delight in the death of the wicked, nor he delights. He rejoices when sinners are turned and converted to him. Well, that's your heart this morning. It's mine. It's our outlook as we see an unbelieving world. We don't just pass by on the other side. Say, oh, I don't care if unbelieving world is lost and ruined. People who are apart from God, without hope, without the gospel, apart from the promises of God. No, the love of God impacts you to such an extent that you want to see this peace spread. You want to see the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Blessed are the peacemakers, says Jesus Christ. They know the peace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. They want others to share that peace. And then you want to share that peace too amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. That peace with all its implications with those who are believers. Obstacles to fellowship must be overcome. Blessed are the peacemakers. And we have a concern then for believers who may be very different from us in many different ways. People this morning from different social backgrounds. But the commonality is one family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's greater than all the differences, the transient differences, the temporal differences, differences that in the light of glory will all be wiped away. People from a different ethnic background, you find solidarity with them because there's something that transcends believers, that separate is distinct from anything in this world. And even sometimes believers who might hurt or wrong you. The gospel of peace means there is a gospel unity. You care about that unity because the peace of God dwells in your heart by faith. Is that where your heart is this morning? If so, says Jesus, then you're a peacemaker. That's a fruit of the Spirit in you. God pronounces you blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called sons of God. So Christians long to be merciful. Christians long to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. Christians long to be peacemakers. And then fourthly this, Christians are sometimes mistreated. I mentioned it to the children earlier. Because of these very things, says Jesus, Christians are sometimes mistreated. Now, this is the only beatitude that speaks of a circumstance, not character. All the other beatitudes speak of character. What is it like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? What is it like to know God's blessing as a citizen of the kingdom of God? But this beatitude speaks of circumstances. It's the most surprising thing. When Jesus says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Again, that law of reverse effect. This very blessing of the Lord Jesus on those who are persecuted. It keeps us away from a sort of victim attitude. It's always complaining about the hardships we face in this world. The Lord Jesus says, in this world, even if the world hates you, you're blessed. Don't whine about it. Don't complain about it. Rejoice. It prevents paranoia. You run into people who are thinking always the world is out to get them. People are persecuting them. The Lord Jesus says here, expect the world to persecute you. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Be very happy when that happens. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That isn't out of the ordinary. That isn't unexpected. It's not some strange event that's happened to you, the first Christian in the world who's been persecuted. No, says Jesus, be prepared for it. You're blessed. So Christians will sometimes face opposition, unpopularity, persecution. If we read this beatitude, would we ever fall for the foolish health and prosperity gospel that says once you become a Christian, everything will be easy and fine. Everything will be well, you'll make more money, and everything will be an easy ride. You can't believe that and believe what Jesus says here in this beatitude. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute. Not if, but when. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, falsely for my sake. So we follow a crucified Savior. We know sometimes we will expect difficulties in this world. We don't think it's strange or odd. We're not taken aback when we face fiery trials. We follow the way of the Savior, a crucified Savior. And the world knows and in Jesus Christ sees someone, the Son of God, the one who came from heaven full of grace and truth. What did they do? They opposed Jesus Christ. What did they say about him? Oh, they say he's a mixed breed. Who was his father? Sometimes they said he's a devil. And then they put him on a cross. So Christians in this world sometimes will face insults and falsehood and deeds of abuse and torture and death. All kinds of persecution against believers. Trumped up charges. Being accused of overthrowing the government or conspiracy to overthrow the government. Well, we're the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now notice again, the Lord does not say, blessed are all those who are persecuted, full stop. He says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, for my sake, for my sake. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecuted because of following Jesus Christ. Now you don't go out of your way and looking to be persecuted or opposed or scorned. You don't go looking for trouble. But when in the way of righteousness that happens, blessed are you, said Jesus. The kingdom is yours. Blessed and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In that persecution, like the prophets before them, like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, so there is a blessing from the Lord. Maybe you know this morning something of what it has meant this last week or two to experience opposition because you wanted to follow Jesus Christ. It may be that in the United Kingdom, the experience generally is that we don't know much of this because perhaps the world cannot tell the difference between us and the world. We come to these Beatitudes this morning. Let me speak in a final application. First of all, if you're a believer here this morning, you know as I know this morning, as you look at your heart, there exists this warfare, this struggle, this battle that's going on between your spiritual desires, what Jesus is speaking of here, and those remnants of the flesh which take you in an opposite direction. We know that battle. When we're tempted to go after those things where to do so would be unfaithful to Jesus Christ, would give you impurity of heart, unrighteousness. Hear this morning the blessedness that Jesus speaks about in the life of grace. What is the blessed life? What is the happy life? Blessed, 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 all the way through, Jesus said. Those who follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and by the word of God and turn away from the ways of this world to follow Jesus Christ. Again, it's this law of reverse effect. This world will say, do this and you'll be happy. Jesus is saying the opposite usually. Renounce your own self-righteousness. Renounce your own ways. God's way, his righteousness, and you'll be blessed. And if you come here this morning and you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, it may be you don't exactly know this battle I'm talking about between the way of the Holy Spirit and the way of the flesh. I'm saying if you embrace in faith Jesus Christ, you will find that he delivers on everything that he promises here in his word. He saves, he pardons, he cleanses, he forgives. He can give you peace with God, a right relationship with God. And the Christian life is the blessed life. Blessed, 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 says Jesus. Now I know this world shouts at you and the devil whispers in your ear and your own flesh says, actually, you'd be happier going your own way. But the Lord Jesus says, those siren voices will lead you to destruction. Here is the life of blessing. Whose voice should we hear this morning? Here is the voice of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Let's hear the word of Jesus and follow him. And let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word to us. We pray that that word, as we hear it in our minds, by the work of the Spirit, will be a word that is rooted in heart and life to your glory. Forgive us, Lord, when foolishly we go our own way, imagining that a life built around ourselves will bring true happiness. Grant us that single-minded devotion to Jesus Christ that will determine to go his way, to trust in him and follow him, and to know a true life of blessing, a blessing that comes from God, a God who gives richly, abundantly, overflowingly. And we thank you, Lord, for every promise of your word this morning. We stand upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing another setting of the Beatitudes as we close. This is a hymn we've already sung a couple of times. We're going to sing it this morning and God willing again this evening, which brings together in a hymn form some of the truths we've been thinking about this morning. Blessed are the humble souls who see. We'll stand to sing this together. Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and upon and with all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.